Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. Ever experienced longing in your life like that, where you just want the next thing to happen or this thing to be over? A prayer you can pray is the one we prayed at the very end of that song, how long, amen, Jesus come, amen, Jesus come. We talked last week about meditative prayer. That is a prayer that you could continue to pray during the week. I hope you had a chance over the week to experience meditative prayer, or if you haven't, I'm just reminding you that we talked about it, how valuable and transformational it is to pray every day. One of the things I asked in an open-ended way is, what if life is so stressful because we have so little prayer? So I want to just review that and remind you of the opportunities we have during the week to pray. Calms us down, and we could even go into all the physiology around that and the breathing and how it literally, physically calms us down. Well, as we continue in Lent, we move forward with a new series, At the Foot of the Cross. And this is a popular way, this phrase, the foot of the cross, is a popular way about talking about releasing burdens and our sins and our cares at the cross. And as we release them, we seek redemption, we seek transformation. And along these lines, we read in the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, he himself, Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And so we see that the New Testament writers think about the cross as a place where we let go of that which weighs us down. We release that, and somehow through the suffering of Christ, we are redeemed. And perhaps that's because of Christ's suffering in his death and his resurrection. Christ is entering into human despair, that longing that we can all feel. Christ transforms that. So I want to continue during Lent to talk about some common human challenges and how we might offer those to God, how we might consider releasing them at the foot of the cross. And this morning I want to talk about the common human experience of fear. Most of us know what it's like to be afraid. When my kids were younger, one of them did not want to go upstairs to get ready for bed, and I said, well, what is it? Do you feel like our house is unsafe? No, I know our house is safe. Well, what is it that's bothering you about going upstairs to get ready for bed? Well, by yourself, without somebody there. Well, it's dark. And so we went upstairs, and I turned all the lights on, and we went in every room. And I said, is this room scary now? Well, no. Well, how about this room? Is this scary now? No. Well, how about this room? Is this scary now? No. Can you get ready for bed now? I think so. But sometimes we need the light to illuminate the darkness, to chase away the things that scare us. Most of us know what it's like to feel afraid. Here's a situation which I think I personally would feel afraid. If I were in a boat, particularly an ancient kind of boat without technology, no life jacket, no Coast Guard, no radio, no GPS, and a storm blows in, and the boat starts taking on water, and it starts to sink. I think in that situation, I would feel some fear. How about you? Well, Jesus' disciples felt exactly that. In Matthew chapter 8, we read, when Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and a windstorm arose on the sea so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was asleep. And they went and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. And he said to them, why are you afraid? You have little faith. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a dead calm. They were amazed, saying, what sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, as I was reflecting on this passage this week, I was sort of sitting with a conflict that's kind of obvious. The boat is sinking. They are going to be afraid. And Jesus wakes up and says, what's the problem here? And rebukes them for being afraid. I thought, I wonder if that feels fair. I think I would have felt afraid. What I walk away with is there are storms in life that are storms to me, but they're not to God. Yes, to me, they are real. They are storms. But to God, who has the eternal view, they're not scary. There are storms that are more powerful than me out there, lots of them, but not more powerful than God. Echoing our earlier worship this morning, God is mighty to save. So I thought, well, what are the different kinds of storms in life? And I thought, well, there are a lot of storms that provoke fear that actually are not storms at all. I remember years ago, we often had to call snow days very early because we had a trailer that was hitched to a tree over there, chained to a tree over there, and a pickup truck had to come up here and get it and hitch it up and come up and down this road, which was gravel at the time, may or may not have been plowed, and we had to get into a building. The American Legion was one of them. They were so hospitable to us, but we had to let them know if we were coming, and we had to plan very early if we were going to have a snow day. So I remember one time we got it really, really wrong. Well, actually, I will pass the buck a moment. The forecasters got it really, really wrong, but we followed the forecast. And there was a forecast for a lot of snow, but it was a complete bust. The weather changed dramatically. And I remember that Sunday morning after we had called off church, not everybody had checked their email, they were just looking outside. After we had called church, we weren't going to have it. I'm standing out there in the American Legion on Sunday morning in almost 60-degree weather as it's raining, trying to explain to everybody who drove up why we weren't having church that morning. Well, it was a storm that was to be that never was. Some storms in life create a lot of fear and apprehension that isn't quite necessary because they're not really storms. They're the fear of storms, and that's different from a real storm. In society today, I think there are a lot of people whipping up fear of storms. Every time I turn the TV on at night, no matter which cable station I'm looking at, I'm hearing somebody who's very talented at rhetoric talking about those people over there on the opposite side of the ideological spectrum and how scary they are. And on extremes of ideological spectrums, there usually are some scary people, but they're not usually the people I run into at Safeway or Walmart or anywhere else that I go. There aren't many of them in my experience. I could be wrong, but sometimes when I turn on the TV, they're all I hear about. And that whips up fear, that whips up concern, that polarizes people. You know what never hits the news? You know what never hits the news? Well, today on the Metro, a moderate Democrat and a moderate Republican struck up a conversation on their way home, and they had a wonderful time getting to know each other. In fact, they didn't even know what their politics were. News at 11. We never hear that. That never hits the news. These people who are very different really got along well. You never hear that. But that's very oftentimes the case. In the United Kingdom, the beer company Heineken set up a social experiment. There's a video of it on YouTube. They asked the question, is there more that unites us than divides us? They recruited people of polar opposite opinions. They took statements of those people on video about their hot button issues, and then they didn't tell anybody who anybody was or what they believed or thought, paired up people with polar opposite opinions and gave them instructions to open some boxes and put together a modular bar. Remember, this is a beer company. So this was the idea, and they gave them things to talk about, but topics that carefully avoided politics and hot button issues. After they built these pairs of people, and there were a couple of them, built their modular bar together, each of them in separate spaces, none either able to see the others, a video of their opinionated statements played on a big screen that loomed over them. And if I'm a partner building a bar here, my partner's opinion, which is polar opposite of mine, and emphatically stated, is now broadcasting, blasting on a screen above me. You can see each work partner grimacing or looking at the floor when they hear these cringeworthy statements. So not all of them are cringeworthy, but they're strong statements. And then came the offer over the loudspeaker. You can now leave, or you can sit and have a beer with your workmate on us. Every person decided to stay and get to know the person that they built the bar with. Why? Because they got to know each other as human beings, forming a common task, and they liked each other. And all of a sudden, these hot-button issues receded, and they found in their conversations points of interest where they could hold things in common and listen to one another, even as they talked about their differences. In society, we live in a storm of polarization. It's a fear of storms. They are all like that. They are ruining our country. And then we come to a place like St. Andrews where we have people with a lot of different views. And we realize, wow, all of them are sure a lot like us. All of those people are sure a lot like me. And we have a lot to learn from each other. The storm clouds dissipate when we embrace our common humanity and we build friendships. We could use a lot more of that bridge building in our society. I'm glad that St. Andrews is one of the places where that tends to happen, because our strong center is in Christ. I'm sure on that boat that day, there were a lot of different opinions about what to do. You told us it was, I told you there was going to be a storm coming, and you told us to get in the boat. Well, Jesus said it was okay. Well, I'm a fisherman for my entire life. I told you this was going to happen. I'm sure there are a lot of different opinions in that boat at that moment. But Christ is the one that brought them together and brought calm to all of them. Sometimes we fear things as storms that aren't really storms. Sometimes we fear events that unfold as storms that could be storms. They could be storms. A few weeks ago, I shared a story about our well pump not working after I lost power. I had a schedule that day. I was juggling all kinds of appointments. It wasn't all working out. I was frustrated. I was trying to fix it myself. But somehow through some prayer and some gritted teeth, everything worked out. It was a problem that I call minor major. In other words, it's a major problem, but it's minor in that it's going to go away soon. But I couldn't gather all the pieces of my day to know how it's going to work out and who I was going to disappoint or get angry because I dropped a ball or something like that. And so I did, in that moment, what everybody does. I tried to take control of the situation. Sometimes when life feels out of control, when there's a storm around, our first response is to try to grab control in hopes that that's going to solve the problem. This would be a lot like yelling in the Matthew incident, "There's a storm, Jesus, you're napping, so we're throwing you over the side. I'll grab the sails, I'm in control now, I'm a fisherman, what could go wrong here?" Well, what could go wrong in that situation is we don't control the wind or the waves. When a real storm comes your way, do you ever find yourself just trying to grab control of everything around you in hopes that it's all good? That's going to make it better. That's going to fix it, right? You're going to be the fixer. But what if there are winds and waves out there that you don't have control over? Well, one of the things we try to do here at St. Andrews is spiritual development, oftentimes in real time. We are practitioners. We don't just try to talk about things. We try to practice them as well. And so I wonder if we could take a moment during this time of proclamation, if you could remember a time in life where there was a storm. Maybe it's a minor storm. Probably, you know, it's something that doesn't stress you out too much in the midst of worship. Some of us can't avoid those because they're in front and center in our life. But think of something. Think of something in your life where you've been out of control and it's been hard. Close your eyes if you want to. Who were you in that moment? In that moment where you felt out of control, who were you? There was a storm. Nobody's doing anything about it. Who were you in that moment? How did you respond? How did you feel? Did you tense up, or are you tensing up now thinking about it? Did you tense up with other people? Did you snap or bark or yell or cry or want to run away? It's all human reaction. Here's the question, though. How many of those responses made it better? How many of them stopped the wind and the waves? In my experience, when I'm in panic or upset or anger or frustration or trying to grab control, in my experience, my reactions don't tend to do much to help the situation when they trend along those lines. Sometimes it's appropriate to fix things if it's in our control to fix. But when it's not in our control to fix something, and we're fixing, sometimes we're just creating suffering in our own soul. So in those situations, maybe don't throw Jesus out of the boat so quickly. Don't grab the sail so fast. Maybe call upon Jesus for help. They were able to wake him up. In today's passage, everyone's flipping out. It's way out of their control. They knew that people died in these storms. This was no joke. This was no joke. There were no GPS. There was no Coast Guard. People died in these storms. The waters in the scriptures show up as a force of nature that is chaotic and unknown and sometimes very scary. Monsters lived in their depths, the Leviathan. Storms shipwreck people and they drown sailors. So of course they're flipping out. And their chief complaint appears to be that Jesus is not flipping out with them. Hey, what are you doing sleeping? Don't you care what's going on here? Get a clue. Jesus instead calms the wind and the waves. Not to say I'm going to protect you from all the storms, because he's going to go through many stormy moments himself. That's what Lent is about. It's the path to the cross. Talk about a storm. What Jesus is doing here is not a precedent for saying, oh, just listen to me and there aren't going to be any storms in life. Many of us wish that it were so. I wish that it were so. But that's not the curriculum that Jesus is offering here. He quiets the storms to show that ultimately he is the Lord of the powers, the forces in the world, even the wind and the waves, life and death. That he is over that. He lords over that. He is powerful over the forces of life and death. And it struck me this week, you know, sometimes in the midst of the storm, I'm actually not trusting over the long haul, the long horizon of life. Instead, what I'm trying to do when I'm in that moment, that stormy moment, is I'm actually bargaining with Christ. I'm not trusting, I'm bargaining, and there's a difference. Say, hey, Jesus, get me out of this scrape, or help me feel better today. Nothing wrong with asking, and at the same time, in that moment, I'm reacting. I'm not quite trusting. I'm bargaining. I'm saying, hey, God, could you fix this for me today? And the problem with that strategy that I think is, I think that's faith when I'm doing it, but it's not. It's bargaining. The problem with bargaining is I'm going to have to do it again tomorrow, and I'm going to have to do it again the next week because I'm not showing that I have a conviction that over the long time horizon, God's got me. What I'm showing is I want God to fix my life now for my comfort. Different, different, trust versus bargaining. But bargaining doesn't address my fear. Bargaining brings temporary relief. What addresses my fear is trust in God. What addresses our fear is trust in God. Jesus doesn't throw us a bone now and again. What he teaches us is that he is Lord over life and death, and that he will be with us on into eternity. Jesus doesn't say, oh, you know, I'm Jesus, so no cross for me, happy ending. I would love that story too. There is a happy ending, but it comes through suffering. And that's what we remember through Lent, that we are transformed through the process of suffering and that we go through times where we experience little deaths. We experience real bodily death. Jesus is Lord over that too and raises us from the dead. A lot of people in Jesus' day did not have that hope. There were different sects of Jewish practice. Some believed in the resurrection, that there was some sort of resurrection. Some did not. Pharisees, if I remember, more pro-resurrection oriented. Sadducees did not believe that. And there might have been some sort of underworld. I'm not an expert on ancient Judaism. And what Jesus brings in going to the cross to confront the powers of death changed all of history so that we today can be convinced that we can have faith, we can be confident that what awaits us through the ultimate storm of life, which is death, is resurrection and calm and peace and eternity. What's a storm in your life today? Don't know what it is. Maybe it's minor. Maybe it's very major. Whatever it is, I pray that you hear Christ's word to you this morning. He is Lord over even death. Yes, we still experience death. But the power of the cross is we are reminded
that that is a storm that ultimately subsides and that we will live with Christ forever. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Almighty God, there are real storms in life. There are also storms in life that are not real storms, that feel stormy to us. Part of it is we tune in and we see what is meant to be news and it turns out to be rhetoric designed to whip us up to into a certain viewpoint and keep us from turning the channel because we start agreeing so strongly actually with ourselves because we already believed that when we tuned into that channel. And it doesn't matter what channel it is, it doesn't matter what newspaper it is, dear God, we pray that you would save us and our society from the storms of polarization that have engulfed us and caused us to be so divisive. Help us to see that those aren't really storms and that you can calm that very easily, dear God, by allaying our fears about this person or that group or that group or that party or that party or that group of people. Help us to come together with people who are different to embrace our common humanity. At the same time, we go through storms in life that are real storms. Illness, loss of someone we love, financial crises, uncertainty in life about someone we love. They're real storms, God. We pray that we might hear, we might know that you indeed are awake. That storm may or may not subside in this life, and yet we know that you went through the ultimate storm to the eye of the storm of the cross, that you conquered death itself, that it no longer has an eternal hold over us. It's a passage we go through, but there is a resurrection. There's a calm and a peace, just like you calm the wind and the storms. There's a calm and peace that we as your children will enjoy forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.